All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show with Dead Penetration.
What's up?
And yeah, guys, I'm sorry, we didn't get a show last time. Well, my ass boomered the microphone. See,
It's green.
Yeah, it's green.
Got through it, and it's red.
My mic actually has two fucking settings, red and green. Red, of course, means it's muted. So we did a whole show with it on red, and I didn't even know, because I got my dragon pad in front of it, so I can't see the light on it. But, yeah, my Blue Yeti, you know, it's a good mic. I love it. I mean, I like the dragon pad filter, but, you know, you can't see the light, and you're like, oh, shit. I didn't realize we didn't even get a show. So, hey, to make it up to you guys, we've decided to just go straight on with the articles. Yeah, I saw the Batman. I'm not going to talk much about it because we do owe you guys some articles, and we have a bunch of them. But first, we got to talk about our sponsor, Spinning Robot Pussy. You can get a Spinning Robot Pussy at spinningrobotpussy.com/TFM. And hey, make sure that when you hit that link on TFM, look for Grimlord. And that way he know that I sent you. He wants to know how many people I'm sending. So if you came there from TFM, hit TFM. If you came there from Grimlord, hit Grimlord. But we're using the TFM URL. It's just, you're just going to be able to pick me in the little slide bar. It'll have a choice between TFM or me. Either one helps him out. You know, it's great. So, you can also get the Follow Me Eyes at the same place, spinningrobotpussy.com/eyes. So,
you
can grab that.
Put them behind a painting and it follows you through.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Yes, you absolutely can. That's not a recommended use for them, but you can do that.
I mean,
I'm just saying, no, I'm saying.
It's not going to hurt anything.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, that's not what they're for, but you could totally. Totally use it for that.
I don't know what they're costing a pair, but
not. I don't know.
If you sell paintings for a couple $100 or more,
oh yeah, you can afford
those.
You're
getting your money back.
Yeah, you can afford those. So yeah, hey, that's a good idea. Anyway, let's go on ahead and get started.
I might have to order me some now.
Okay, so we're gonna start with the articles. And we have quite a few of them. We actually have to go all the way back. We even got some funny articles we're going to cover. It's a bunch of stuff.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, so how far back do we want to go? We've got stuff from all the way in April 5th. Did we actually? Well, I don't know. I think I did one about, I don't know if I did the participants were paid $15 an hour to watch CNN instead of Fox News. And then we talked about the popular Valorant streamer banned after misogynist tirade, iShowSpeed. We know all about iShowSpeed. There's no need to go into that. What about the TMZ video? Do you remember this when we talked about the Instagram model who killed her boyfriend in Miami? I don't think we covered that.
I hadn't heard that one.
I hadn't either. Let's go ahead and cover that one now then. Okay, this happened April the 8th. So it was a little bit in the beginning. TMZ releases video of IG model after she allegedly killed her boyfriend in Miami. It says TMZ releasing a video of Instagram model Courtney Taylor just after she was apprehended by police for the alleged killing of her boyfriend. A North Texas man who recently moved to Florida was found stabbed to death in a Miami condo over the weekend, police said. Police responded to One Paraiso Residences, a luxury condominium building in Miami's Edgewater neighborhood, shortly before 5 p.m. Sunday and found 27-year-old Christian Obomselli, who had been stabbed once. He was taken to Jackson Memorial Hospital and later died, police said. A woman who police said was Obomselli's girlfriend had called 911 to report the incident. The woman identified as Courtney Taylor was detained to a mental institution, police said. Police said there was no physical altercation between Obomselli and his girlfriend before he was stabbed. Family members told W4TV that Albumselli had recently moved to Miami with his girlfriend. Public records in Albumselli's social media accounts show that he was from North Texas and was a graduate of Plano East Senior High School and Texas Tech University. A GoFundMe page that was set up by a family member described him as having an infectious smile that could light up any room. Christian was extremely compassionate with a desire always to uplift those around him, the page says. He did not deserve for his life to be cut short by a heinous act of violence. Albumselli's 28th birthday would have been next week. Police are investigating the incident, and no additional information was available. The video can be watched here.
That's quite the soundtrack for this.
Yeah. Fight. Yeah.
Fight that orc. Da, 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 da,
da. Now we got another one. Oh, no. This is before. This is... Okay, we'll stop this one. All right. We're going to talk about this one. Or maybe we did. I don't know. Well, I'm, like I said, I'm looking at all the ones trying to go through. Okay. YouTube CEO explains why they removed the dislike button. Did we talk about this one?
No.
Well, we kind of know.
It seems like I've heard something
about
it.
Yeah, we kind of know why they did it, so there's really no need to go into that.
Censorship.
Now, here's something interesting. CNBC.com. Elon Musk says humans could eventually download their brains into robots, and Grimes thinks Jeff Bezos would do it. Elon Musk says a lot of seemingly fantastical things. For example, the billionaire Tesla and SpaceX CEO seems to believe that humans will eventually be able to live forever by downloading their brains into robots. I think it is possible, Musk, 50, recently told Insider. Yes, we could download the things that we believe make ourselves so unique. Now, of course, if you're not in that body anymore, that is definitely going to be a difference, but as far as preserving our memories, our personality, I think we could do that. By Musk's account, such technology will be a gradual evolution from today's forms of computer memory. Our memories are stored in our phones and our computers with pictures and video, he said. Computers and phones amplify our ability to communicate, enabling us to do things that would have been considered magical. We've already amplified our human brains massively with computers. The concept of prolonging human life by downloading consciousness into synthetic bodies has been a fixture of science fiction for decades, with the 1964 sci-fi novel Dune terming such beings as Cymex. Some experts today believe that mind-uploading technology could in fact be feasible one day, but the timeline is incredibly unclear. In a 2019 Wall Street Journal essay, Michael S. A. Graziano, a psychology and neuroscience professor at Princeton, wrote that mind uploading would require two pieces of technology, an artificial brain and a scan of a person's brain that could measure exactly how its neurons are connected to each other, to be able to copy that pattern in the artificial brain. Creating the artificial brain, Graziano noted, would be relatively straightforward, but to upload a human brain, we probably wouldn't want a scanner that doesn't kill the subject. And we would want to need to scan about 100 million times as many details, he wrote. That technology doesn't exist yet. The most wildly optimistic predictions place mind uploading within a few decades, but I would not be surprised if it took centuries. One of Musk's current startup ventures, Neuralink, is working to develop brain-machine interfaces that, in Musk's own words, could one day allow people to store your memories as backup, but and restore the memories. But speaking with Insider, Musk emphasizes that his company's current goals are much more immediately practical. Neuralink in short term is just about solving brain injuries, spinal injuries, and that kind of thing, he said. So for many years, Neuralink's product would just be helpful to someone who's lost use of their arms or legs or has a traumatic brain injury of some kind, which is great. Notably, Musk himself doesn't seem to want to live forever, nor does he endorse the idea for anyone else. I don't think we should try to have people live for a really long time, he said. That would cause asphyxiation of society, because the truth is most people don't change their mind. They just die. So if they don't die, we'd be stuck with old ideas and society wouldn't advance. If mind uploading does become possible within the relatively near future, there's some speculation in the Musk household as he'd want to try it. In a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Musk's co-parent and ex-partner Grimes identified Amazon and Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos as someone who is going to be a Cymec. Bezos, 58, has not publicly expressed any interest in such technology, though he does have a track record of investing in longevity and anti-aging research. He did not immediately respond to CNBC's Make Its request for comment. So that's kind of interesting, but it seems like it's way, way out there.
Yeah.
Okay, now here is an interesting article here. Okay. GameSpot. Tomb Raider writer wants fewer father issues in new game. I would like to see probably less father issues, writer Rihanna Pratchett says. Writer Rihanna Pratchett, known for writing 2013's Tomb Raider and the sequel Rise of Tomb Raider, has reacted to the recent announcement of a new Tomb Raider game from Crystal Dynamics. Speaking to Eurogamer at the BAFTAs, Pratchett started off by confirming she is not working on the game. Pratchett also did not work on the last main Tomb Raider game, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. She said she's very excited to see what Crystal Dynamics does with the next game, which was announced during Epic's State of Unreal event this week. It's still very early days for the game, and the only thing we know is that it'll run on Unreal Engine 5. Although Pratchett is not working on the next Tomb Raider game, she said it was fun working on Lara Croft as a character and shaping her journey in the recent trilogy. For the next Tomb Raider game, Pratchett said she hopes to see the story get rid of one element in particular. I would like to see probably less father issues, she said. Additionally, Pratchett said she would like to see Lara Croft continue her journey to become a bona fide Tomb Raider. I liked seeing her striking out on her own and really taking some joy in what she does, because when we wrote the reboot game, she was really on her way to becoming a Tomb Raider, so she was like proto-Tomb Raider. And all the traits you associate with Tomb Raider, like tenaciousness, bravery, resourcefulness, were kind of bubbling to the surface with her, she said. I want to see that full fruition. I want to see that sassy one-liners and things I would have loved to have written. But, you know, she wasn't at that stage yet. She didn't have that confidence yet. Work on the new Tomb Raider has only just started, Crystal Dynamics said. The studio says it believes Unreal Engine 5 will help developers unlock next-level storytelling and gameplay experiences. This will be the first new entry in the series since 2018's Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which was developed by Eidos Montreal. It wrapped up the events of a new trilogy that started in 2013. Okay. Here's another one. In a break with the past, U.S. is using intel to fight an info war with Russia, even when the intel isn't rock solid. It doesn't have to be solid intelligence, one U.S. official said. It's more important to get ahead of them, the Russians. Putin specifically, before they do something. It was an attention-grabbing assertion that made headlines around the world. U.S. officials said they had indications suggesting Russia might be preparing to use chemical agents in Ukraine. President Biden later said it publicly. But three U.S. officials told NBC News this week that there is no evidence Russia has brought any chemical weapons near Ukraine. They said the U.S. released the information to deter Russia from using the banned munitions. It's one string of examples Unfortunately, that's why it's not very good to link me straight news articles, because sometimes they come peppered with ads and all kinds of things like that. Okay, it's one of a string of examples of the Biden administration's breaking with recent president by deploying declassified intelligence as part of an information war against Russia. The administration has done so even when intelligence wasn't rock solid, officials said, to keep Russian President Vladimir Putin. And that seems to be it, because they're showing me ads now, because that's how... Yep, and now I'm getting Taboola ads, so guess what? We're done with that one.
Yeah.
Sorry guys, when you send me an article like that, make sure to hit archive, give me an archive version of it, because I can't read it. It gives me ads and tells me I have to subscribe and all kinds of bullshit. Okay, since Easter was just a couple of days ago, well, it was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Well, it'll be a couple of days ago when they see this.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
The Babylon Bee did a really funny article that you may agree with. Pharisees delighted by this new wokeness thing that lets them constantly judge and make everyone feel
Isn't
guilty.
Isn't that the truth? That was the whole thing about the Pharisees in the New Testament.
Jerusalem. According to sources close to the ancient Jewish sect known as the Pharisees, the group of legalistic religious zealots was delighted to learn about this new wokeness thing going around, as it gives them the power to judge others, one-up each other in virtue signaling and feign morality, and make everyone else feel guilty about not living up to their man-made standards. Oh man, this wokeness thing is just what we've been looking for, said one leader of the Pharisees after he obtained a copy of White Fragility. We get to look down our noses at everyone else, constantly tell everyone to do better, and constantly move the goalposts and make up rules to make ourselves look holier without actually changing anything about our behavior. This is what we've been trying to say all along. Pharisees were seen gathering in reading groups to pick up copies of How to Be an Anti-Racist, White Fragility, and other seminal holy books of the woke movement. The religious zealots sewed approved patches and symbols on their clothing, such as rainbow flags, Ukraine flags, and BLM fists, their version of customary religious regulations, such as not wearing mixed fabrics. At publishing time, the newly woke Pharisees were seen loudly trumpeting their righteousness and virtues on street corners, praying out loud and thanking God that they're not like these other unwoke people, these white men, and these problematic oppressors.
Hmm. Yeah. I tell you, that sounds like history repeating itself.
Yep.
'Cause, I mean, yeah, when you think about it, that the Pharisees are a lot like the woke culture today.
As we know, Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for $43 billion, and of course,
he backed out.
Well, no, they had to do that poison pill thing, and they fucked it all up. Now, here's something, because we talk about the cesspool that is Hollywood. Daily Wire. It says, Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown reveals she's been sexualized from a young age. It's gross. One of the child actors on the Netflix, and she is definitely, a child actor.
Who is
Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11.
She's the one that shaved head. And,
yes, it's one of the most admired. The British actress has been nominated for 2 Emmys for a portrayal of the girl with telekinetic and telepathic powers. Now the 18-year-old star is speaking up about alleged sexualization she experienced during her career when she was younger. Brown discussed the sexualization of children in Hollywood during an appearance on the Guilty Feminist podcast. I deal with the same things any 18-year-old is dealing with, navigating being adult and having relationships and friendships. It's all of those things, Brown said. Being liked and trying to fit in, it's all a lot. You're trying to find yourself while doing that. The only difference is that I'm obviously doing that in the public eye. The Stranger Things star mentioned how she's noticed, definitely been dealing with being sexualized more within the last 2 weeks of turning 18, definitely seeing a difference between the way people act and the way that the press and social media have reacted to me coming of age. I didn't even know she was 18. God damn, I'm old.
Time flies by, don't it?
I believe that she shouldn't change. I believe that shouldn't change anything, but it's gross and true. It's just a very good representation of what's going on in the world, how young girls are sexualized, Brown said. So I've been dealing with that, but I've also been dealing with that for forever. She went on to elaborate on incidents from the past after becoming an overnight sensation thanks to the success of Stranger Things. As one example, Brown said she was crucified for wearing a low-cut dress when she was only 16. I thought, my, is this really what we're talking about? We should be talking about the incredible people that were there at the awards show, she recalled of the incident. According to USA Today, the Stranger Things star mentioned how she was included in W Magazine's list of why TV is sexier than ever at the age of 13. She discussed how people online have been commenting on her looks for years, including much older men. Then there was the 2016 GQ profile describing her as a very grown-up child and discussing how her legs looked. That's GQ. Brown addressed this all previously in an Instagram post when she was 16. The last few years haven't been easy, I'll admit that, the teen wrote. There are moments I get frustrated from the inaccuracy, inappropriate comments, sexualization, and unnecessary insults that ultimately have resulted in pain and insecurity for me. Brown returned to her role playing at 11 in Stranger Things 4, which is scheduled to launch May 27th. Oh, I'm prepared. The actress is also slated to appear in the Enola Holmes sequel coming to Netflix later this year. So, yeah. No surprise, right? Okay, got some rock news. According to Metal Injection, it says, Kiss Gene Simmons says rock is still dead and the fans killed it. Kiss frontman Gene Simmons is firm in his belief that rock is dead. Now in an interview with Metal Hammer, Simmons once again claimed that the genre is dead and that the fans killed it by downloading music. I stand by my words, rock is dead. The people that killed it are fans. Hold on. Got a advertisement, scroll to continue reading. Okay. Fans killed the things they love by downloading and file sharing for free. How do you expect somebody who loves the guitar to come into this creative process? You've got to invent yourself, and so rock is dead. While there's no concrete way to say if that assertion is right or wrong, Simmons may want to also consider streaming payouts as a possible deterrent for artists in the modern age. Sure, sites like Bandcamp, which I use, give artists a decent chunk of change per purchase so far, but streaming giants like Spotify aren't paying any small to medium artist bills, and probably some bigger than that, so I'm sure that fans downloading music is the entirety of the issue here. It's also an interesting time to say that rock is dead, considering 2022 has already had three pretty major rock releases: Ghost, Machine Gun Kelly, which I don't count, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They came out with a new album this year. That being said, Simmons' next argument is a pretty good one. Who's the next massive name in rock? Seriously?
I don't know. Rock's
Right. Rock is kind of dead, isn't it?
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Or I don't overhear anything
about it.
I
know. Dude, I'm in the rock circles and I don't hear anything about it. I hear about these bands, but I'm like, okay, when are these bands ever going to be, like, known, right?
I wonder what you'd hear if you looked at, because it's been so long since I've even looked at my local, like...
They're probably saying the same shit.
Local rock radio station.
I bet they're playing the same shit. I bet you can check out the local station over
probably
here.
Probably what we were listening to 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be crazy.
High school stuff.
Well, no, they play that at lunch.
Yeah, 90, I know.
90s at noon.
Oh, man.
They call that, I've heard kids call that classic
rock. It is.
Yeah, that'll date you.
Yep. That being said, it's like, who's going to be, who's the band that's going to make people go out and buy an instrument? Simmons points out that boy bands like BTS are currently huge, but don't really lend themselves to starting a project in their garage. Point to a new look. I played this game before and it bears nothing. Rock continues to be dead from 1958 till 1988. 30 years, right? You got Elvis Presley, the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, Rolling Stones, and on Motown. You have the surf thing and the Beach Boys, the British Invasion. Hundreds of bands. The Hollies are hardly ever talked about. They're a great band. Disco stuff. Madonna, Prince, Bowie. You got heavy bands like Metallica and Iron Maiden. All that stuff in those 30 years. Eternal music and bands. But from 1988 until today, who's the new Beatles? BTS? There's no denying they're famous. But am I going to form a garage band to do those songs? No, I think they're well-crafted and professional.
Well, you know, for the years, I don't think they've been out that long to say they're the next Beatles, per se.
But One Direction and NSYNC and all the boy bands don't change the world.
Yeah.
It just makes little girls' hearts flutter and then they're gone. That doesn't have gravitas. Influential bands that make someone want to pick up a guitar, learn how to play songs, and be in a band don't exist because you can't make a living. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not helping the helping it, but you know, I mean, there's too much music out there.
I think a lot of bands nowadays make their money on the road more than they do.
Well, selling stuff, your glorified T-shirts.
But I've heard in the past, when they have agents and record companies, that's
they
make their money.
Oh, okay. Well, they screwed them over.
So
but
it's just
itself,
a different
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
The only difference is the record companies are having.
Well, they actually promoted them more, and they actually got to be. Well, they got to be like rock stars and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't really have that anymore. But
well, now
what were.
Make your own way.
Right.
You can get on YouTube.
If you
and stay
can,
on
yeah, and it's well. I mean, most people say you got 5 years at the most on YouTube if you're really big. Is that long? That's usually how long a YouTube career lasts is 5 years.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah, we switched. That's all the Rinka footage we have, guys. That's it. I'm sorry. If you want to see more of Rinka, buy Rinka. It's not that much. It's like $13, $14, $15, something like that. It's not that expensive. It's not a $30 game. It's fun. You've seen that it's fun. And this one is Bloodstained, of course. And this is the new This is the new character added. The Child of Light character. And yeah, she starts out as a child, but you get her adult form too. And it's pretty fucking fun. I had a lot of fun playing as this character. I actually went through the whole damn game again as this character. And I didn't think I'd do it because it just made it so fun. Yeah, they let you fly eventually. You get to fly through the whole map, and it's like the coolest thing ever. I'm like, holy crap, that's amazing. So yeah, that's what we're showing you now is the Child of Light from Bloodstained. And you probably didn't get to see much Bloodstained footage last time, but I can show. I'll be showing you all of Bloodstained through this character. So enjoy, because that's our next game. We're gonna be showing you Bloodstained. So as this character though, not as Miriam. So enjoy that. We got another article. This Japanese startup wants you to feel real-world pain in the metaverse. That means virtual reality feeling pain. But there's more.
Yeah.
H2L Technologies, a Sony-backed Japanese startup, has built a meta wristband. The device would allow users to mimic physiological movement in the virtual world, all the while experiencing sensation and weight of self and other objects. Oh, wow. I'm seeing it. It looks weird. The wristband uses electric stimulation to move arm muscles and simulate sensation like pinching your skin or squishing a ball or holding a weight. Emi Tamaki, CEO of H2L, opines that virtual sensation of pain will metamorphosize the metaverse into a real-world environment with real-world immersion and presence. Creepy how haptics tech is evolving. Emi Tanaki had a near-death experience in her early teens owing to a cardiac condition. This is when the germ of an idea took life. She ideated a tech which would replicate and link physical experiences with computers. The haptic technology researcher envisions liberating humans from all constraints of geography, physiology, and time by 2029. What? Let me read that again. The haptic technology researcher envisions liberating humans from all strengths of geography, physiology, and time by 2029. It's pretty amazing. H2L will leverage the vision with its comprehensive range of technologies and tools. And she doesn't look too bad.
Let me see.
You'd bang her.
Oh, yeah.
I'd bang her.
Just because I'd bang her doesn't mean she's
hot. Oh, well, I mean, that doesn't mean we're gonna... Yeah, I'm not gonna marry or anything. As reported earlier, Meta had announced that humans will live in the metaverse soon. Yeah, they say that. The company has invested in developing the next phase of the virtual world with immersive tech that would even include sensation and even smell. And I was talking to a developer about how this might work, and I can go into that a little bit. But let's go finish the article first. According to Zucker, Homo sapiens will migrate to the metaverse in the near future. While this might seem very futuristic for the uninitiated, we are already living in a digital ecosystem with information and data floating around our screens 24/7. In some manner, we've already migrated into the cocoon of Meta. What will emerge out of the chrysalis of Meta, only time will tell. On a more positive note, Tamaki believes that this tech will allow people like her with chronic crippling diseases to travel anywhere, anytime. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that'd be like paraplegics being able to experience.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, that is.
That's kind of cool, though. For those of you that wanted to see your picture, I'm going to post it in Grim Chats. I figure some people like, Tamari, what does she look like?
Hey, there really are, man.
Let's see here. Not amazing, but here you go. That's Emi Tanaki. I know, she looks like your anime voice actress. Alright, but we got more. We got so much more. We got too much more. Oh my god, we got way too much more.
Let's keep going.
Okay, here's another one. Oh my god, and you thought Me Too ended after you died. Well, I guess not. Molly Shannon accuses the late Gary Coleman of sexual harassment. Different Strokes star Gary Coleman, who died in 2010, is posthumously accused of sexual harassment by Molly Shannon.
And I like Molly Shannon, that's sad.
Molly Shannon accused late Different Strokes star Gary Coleman of sexual harassment. I think he was like, sit down on the bed. It was very sweet, Shannon said on the Howard Stern Show while recalling meeting Coleman after signing with his agent. And then he's like tickling me a little, this and that. After telling Coleman she was a virgin at the time, she said he became agitated. He was relentless, she explained. Then he was like trying to kiss me and get on top, and I was like, no, Gary, stop. So I push him off. Then I would get off the bed. Then he would bounce on the bed, jump, 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 and wrap himself around me. Then I would fling him off, and what then he'd go on top of me. And I guess because of his size, I didn't feel physically threatened.
That's not Gary.
I guess because of his size, I didn't. But listen to this. She says, I guess because of his size, I didn't feel physically threatened. But it was going on, repeating. I would throw him off, and he would get back on.
So any midgets out there, here's your opportunity.
And then finally, I throw him off. I was really getting out of breath because it was athletic and aerobic, she added. He grabs me onto my leg, and I was like trying to kick him off.
Can you imagine? Come on, give me some. She just shakes her leg.
I go lock myself in the bathroom, and he sticks his hands under the door. And he's like, I can see you. Santa concluded by noting she ran out of the room and implored Coleman's agent to keep a close eye on him.
That almost sounds too goofy to be real.
Coleman is known for his prominent work as a child actor during the 70s and 80s, with the biggest claim to fame being Arnold Jackson, the adoptive black son of the wealthy white Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes from 78 to 86. He also appeared on Good Times, Facts of Life, Jefferson's, Buck Rogers in 25th Century, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Simpsons, The Drew Carey Show, and more. And he was in Postal 2. And Postal 4 comes out next week. No, not next week. It comes out on Wednesday. Yes, we'll be playing it for the next open mic. Of course, I'm going to shoot cat rockets at people that blow up, exploding cat rockets because they can. Yeah, there's all kinds of fucking weird shit. You can piss all over people and just it's postal. It's about literally everything.
Yeah, you had just, me all pissing on people.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like Postal 2 on steroids, so it's gonna be insane. He died in 2010, the age of 42, after suffering a head injury.
And you know how that happened? A girl shook him off her leg. She hit his head, and that's all she wrote.
Twitter plays defense with the poison pill plan. Now, that's what we were talking about. Twitter's board of directors hastily approved a poison pill agreement. That way, he can't buy it. The fucking idiots. Now, Xbox is reportedly planning to feature ads in games. There's not much to go over, but this is a slippery slope. Because what they say is they're just going to do it in billboards and backgrounds. It's not going to be like you're in the middle of a boss battle and you see an ad like for...
YouTube now pops up.
Yeah, an ad for...
end in 3, 2, 1, you can skip it.
It'd be like an ad for Dr. Squatch. It's like, you want to smell like a man? It's like, what? No, I'm trying to fight this boss.
Stop spelling like a mangina. Gets Dr. Squatch.
Okay, we got to talk about this one. God of War actor. I don't know if you heard about this. God of War Kratos actor Joseph Gad arrested for alleged sexually explicit communication with a minor. Okay, hold on. There's a clarification update here. 6:49 p.m. While Christopher Judge is the voice actor for Kratos in the 2018 reboot, and there's video evidence that he did mocap as well, Joseph Gad's resume also lists him as a motion capture actor for Kratos in God of War 2018, and he's also listed in the game's credits as having worked on motion capture in the game. Gad also served as inspiration for the likeness and movement of the character in previous entries. Joseph Gad, motion capture God of War Kratos actor for multiple games in the series, including latest reboot, was arrested on the morning of April 6th and is accused of having had sexually explicit communication with a minor across state lines, Los Angeles police said. Police officer... Okay. How God of War Kratos actor Joseph Gad has responded to the charges. Police officers from the Juvenile Division of Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, according to a statement, executed a residential search warrant at his home. Gat was arrested on a felony warrant for contact with a minor for sexual offense. After posting a $5,000 bail, the English actor who lives in Los Angeles was released on the same day of his arrest, according to his booking report. The Los Angeles Police Department is attempting... Hold on, we got an ad here. Los Angeles Police Department is attempting to identify any possible additional victims and has asked anyone with more information to contact the department. In response, Gad has categorically denied all allegations against him, sharing the following statement on both Instagram and Twitter. I obviously want to address the absolutely horrifying and completely untrue allegations recently leveled against me. They are 100% categorically wrong and reckless. I have confirmed errors and misleading information in today's press release. I am fully cooperating with police and LAPD to get to the bottom of this. I look forward to clearing my good name. Well, let's hope he does then.
Yeah.
Joseph Gatt is known for playing the then Warg in Game of Thrones and landing his vocal and motion capture talents in multiple video games. He is the motion capture actor for Kratos not only in the God of War reboot in 2018, but for God of War 2, which I finished, 3, Ghosts of Sparta, Chains of Olympus, and Ascension. Gatt has also voiced Scourge and Star Wars The Old Republic series since 2011. I didn't know that. As well as numerous characters in Elder Scrolls Online and the Dunmer Mail for the Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. 4 Skyrim. No, 5 Skyrim. 4 was Oblivion. Okay, so we got another article here.
Yeah.
It is from... Okay, this is a Reddit post. So my son, 15 male, found that me... Oh, I heard about this. I saw this in one of my social media groups. Well, I guess I gotta read it now. Okay, so my son, 15 male, found that me, 43 female, and my husband, 45 male, are into cuckolding. I sleep with other men as my husband watch. 6 months after finding out, he still refuses to speak to us and is utter disgust when he looks at me. I assume he Googled what cuckolding is killing me. He found because I got careless. I am not very tech savvy and stupidly asked him to fix something on my computer. And he found some pictures, and at first he did not say anything. He just got very quiet. Still does his homework, never late for school or acted out in any way. But then after being given the silent treatment for almost a month, I sat him down and asked him what was wrong, and he exploded at me, calling me every name in the book. If dad is not good enough, then divorce him, he yelled at me. His father tried to talk to him, but he just keeps telling him to divorce me. He has never acted out like that before, and is a good kid, and we obviously have stopped since he found out. One of the men involved he knows, and he has been like an uncle to him. I had to inform him that he found out what has been happening. My son now hates him as well, and it's caused him so much harm. He's always quiet now, refuses to have dinner with us. My husband said either eat with us or go hungry, but then he just went to his room without dinner and refused to eat all together, and my husband and I backtracked after he only ate at school for a week and let him eat alone eventually. Maybe he needs to talk to somebody, but he hardly has said more than maybe 4 sentences to us these last months. He is way more angry at me than his father. At least he responds to his father. Me, he is ignoring completely. We tried putting the hammer down and even stupidly followed the advice of another couple we know who said just tell him it's none of his business, and we did, and that only pushed him farther away from us and only made things even worse, and he completely shut down. He has zero respect for me and keeps telling his father that I am a bad person who enjoy humiliating him and that she should divorce me. I feel so horrible, and my son hates me.
Huh. Well, she shouldn't have let him look at her computer, yeah. That's for damn sure. Yeah, you can't... It's not that hard to figure it out.
Gosh, your son may be traumatized. He found out your pictures? Probably only therapy could help.
I'll tell you now.
You are disgusting. I feel bad for your son and all the troubles he would possibly have when dating, all because of your selfishness, poor kid. You wrote that a couple of convinced you to put the hammer down was wrong. Well, whoever told you what you were doing with your husband was okay. Then you are delusional and selfish and quite honestly disgusting. I think if you are this person who needs to be fucked by strangers, be alone and responsible and do in the privacy of your home whatever you fucking want to do to a guy, to whatever, do a horse, etc. But when you have kids and a family, you can act like the selfish person you are being now. Don't blame this on your husband or say it is his fetish to see you being fucked by different men, because so then you are both wrong. Because if so, you are both wrong. One person has to be right-minded in your family to teach that poor soul some sense of dignity and respect. What do you think he is going to think of women now when his mother is a load bucket and his father too weak to have self-respect? I wish your kid finds the strength to leave the house. I also think you should both support him in doing that. He deserves that every penny he is going to need while he makes it on his own. You can act like this when you have kids. I agree. I also think there's something more to this that hurts him on a personal level. I wish you would share what that was. I think there's more to this just him finding out. His father asked him if something happened at school, since we both suspected there was more to this, and he won't talk about it, so something has happened. He has agreed to talk to somebody. He refused to see a female therapist, so we found a male therapist, and his father would be him, will be with him there, since he agreed to that. I wish he would just share it. I would never mock him or make fun of him, but he seems terrified to share whatever it is with me. We were talking about a kid who, before this always happened to give me a hug before he went to school, which is perfect in every way. And in less than a few days, all that was gone. It shut me out completely. I would also like to add that my son's mental health and relationship to him is more important right now. That comes first. That's my first priority as a mother. And yes, it's more important than my sex life, because if he suffers from depression or is dealing with something difficult that me and my husband are unaware of, and that him finding out caused me even more mental distress, and yes, it's more important than my own pleasure. I have a friend of mine who lost her 14-year-old son to suicide, and I take mental health seriously. I don't want to find my son dead. God bless him for having none of this nonsense. Call me intolerant, judgmental, a-hole, or whatever, but no kid should discover that his mother is having consensual sex with other men while his father is watching, consenting adults or not. Talk about shattering his value system. Obviously, you're free to dispose as you please of your body as an adult, just as much as he is free to have an opinion on what you're doing as his mother. I sincerely hope he is okay. It'll be okay. Overcome it. Keep showing the love that he needs. It's just a matter of time before he moves on. But just as much as you probably believe you're doing nothing wrong, he's also doing nothing wrong, just guilty of discovering what he should have not. He's a 15-year-old young man who's not yet, thankfully, been brainwashed to view these things as normal and see how he reacts like any person with good common sense would react. God, I'm scared what's going to happen to humanity. Poor kid probably leaves with guilt now, wondering if he overreacted or something. He is free to have his opinion and feelings about what they did. They should have been more careful. It is entirely their fault for not being cautious. As for humanity, it is fucked up already. Today you get canceled for feeling like your son did. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't even like thinking about my parents having sex. I know they were successful at least 3 times. That's all I need to know.
Right.
But imagine finding out your mom was just sleeping with other random... that would... Yeah.
Okay, we got another one. This one kind of sucks. Alex Jones, InfoWars, files for bankruptcy over Sandy Hook defamation lawsuits. InfoWars founder Alex Jones on Sunday filed for Chapter 11 after losing lawsuits filed by parents of children killed in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, according to reports. The conspiracy website filed for bankruptcy in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas, according to Reuters. If the request is approved, the website can continue to operate while it sets up a plan to reorganize. The move would also suspend further civil litigation. On his radio show, as well as InfoWars.com, Jones claimed the December 14th shooting in the elementary school, 2012 shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, which killed 20 first graders and 6 educators, was a hoax staged by crisis actors. He said their intent was to spur more opposition to the Second Amendment. Over the last year, the far-right hoax was found liable for damages in at least 3 defamation cases brought by families of the victims, and several other suits are pending. Jones offered to settle the lawsuits by paying $120,000 each plaintiff, but the families rejected the proposal, The Hill reported. No damages have yet been assessed, but a trial to set them is scheduled to begin in August. I wonder if Nick's going to cover that. Last month, Jones was fined $75,000 when he did not appear for a deposition in a defamation case, but a judge refunded the money when Jones appeared. Alex Jones is just delaying the inevitable, a public trial which he will be held accountable for his profit-driven campaign lies, a campaign of lies against the Sandy Hook families who have brought the lawsuit. Christopher Mattai, who represents the families in Connecticut lawsuit against Jones, said at the time, according to the Associated Press. Another newly filed lawsuit accuses Jones of hiding millions of dollars in assets, but an attorney for Jones has called that allegation ridiculous, the AP reported. The lawsuit claims Jones is hiding money and that he drew $18 million from InfoWars over the last 3 years. After Alex Jones was sued for claiming the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary was a hoax, the infamous conspiracy theorist conspired to divert his assets to shell companies owned by insiders like his parents, his children, and himself, says the lawsuit, which was filed in Austin, Texas by more families of the Sandy Hook victims. According to the lawsuit, Jones is accused of drawing about $18 million from his InfoWars company over 3 years, starting in 2018 when the defamation lawsuits were filed. Jones is also accused of claiming a dubious $54 million debt around that time to another company, which the lawsuit alleges it's indirectly or directly owned by Jones. The wire service cited Norm Pattis, an attorney for Jones, who said, "No one is hiding assets. The suggestion is ridiculous. We look forward to litigating those issues," Pattis said. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. On more comedic notes, we have Babylon Bee. Man shows his wife how to close the 8,537 browser tabs she has open. Elko, Nevada. Experienced a moment of incredible grace and patience. Local husband Clarence McTombly sat his wife down and gently showed her how it was actually possible to close the 8,537 unused browser tabs on her mobile phone. "See, honey, that X in the upper right corner allows you to close that tab you are no longer using," said Clarence to his wife Clarice, as she nodded along while not really listening because she saw tabs showing a swimsuit she had been looking at a few months ago, but was probably now ready to buy. "All you need to do is tap that X with your finger and it's gone. Simple as an oil change." Showing some confusion, Clarice asked what on earth the purpose would be in closing any of the browser tabs, especially since she may need to pull up the content of any of those tabs at any time, because really, you just never know. I have her problem. With boundless love and long-suffering, Clarence answered her question by scrolling to some of her earlier browser tabs, a task that took over 40 minutes, and showed her that 17 tabs related to finding coupons on baby formula may not be important anymore as their youngest child is now in college. At publishing time, Clarice also felt with overwhelming charity and patience, led her husband to the closet to show him how to throw away his 141-old disintegrated t-shirts. Okay, I'm putting my hands up there. I have shirts that are so old, I had them when I was 16. Seriously.
Yeah.
I've got old Disturbed and Mudvayne and Godsmack and Slipknot shirts. I have Slipknot shirts from Iowa. Iowa came out in 2001. I've got a Sickness shirt. That shirt came out in 19 came out in 99. And the shirt still holds together. It's a glow-in-the-dark shirt.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so that's true. I still have all of those old shirts. Okay, we got this one. It says, Fox 5, Las Vegas. Man nearly raped after attempting to rob a home. This happened in 2012. It was a hot minute ago. Metro police have confirmed that a teenage male, he's not a teenager anymore, nearly raped and killed a man attempting to break into his home. Police say that a robber male, 37, he's probably like 50 now, attempted to break into the teenager's home when the teenager opened the door revealing a gun. The teenager then stated, "Let's not turn this rape into a murder," then pulling out his genitalia. The robber, in fear for his life, called the police, then laying on the ground with his hands above his head. The man said he thinks that the teenager was just trying to scare him, but the teenager seems to state otherwise. The circumstances surrounding the incident are still under investigation, but the teenager's not been charged with anything as far as we know.
Have you ever, some stand-up comedian was talking about this girl he had met at this audition that they're both reading lines for. He had to get somewhere, and she said, "You can ride with me."
Oh, hold on. Okay, there is one that I covered way back. Let me see if this is the same article. Dude, I did a whole show on this shit back in the day. Yes, it's 2011. You guys need to check my old shit on BitChute, but we will go back. Like, no, seriously. Go to BitChute. Go look at those old videos. You will totally see where I've covered this shit. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. You weren't here for this.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back into ancient history with this one. But, yeah, go ahead. And what were you saying about the joke?
Oh, she got on the phone, called her friend, said, "I just met this really nice guy. His name is," gave the name, and said, "If I'm raped or something, you know I went with this man." And they get halfway down the road. He said, "Well, you really made this rape really awkward." And she tried running away.
Oh, man. Okay, well, yeah, this is the one. Hold on. We got two more before we get to that, though. Two more. This is actually important news, guys. Just came out today. Former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey claims he witnessed incident where CNN tried to falsify news. Well, now we got evidence that they're doing what we know they're doing.
What? Jack Dorsey's standing up for...
Yeah, I know, right? Former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey said on Monday evening that he knows that CNN promotes false news reporting because he witnessed the far-left network try to cause conflict during the Ferguson, Missouri riots back in 2014. Dorsey made the revelation in response to a tweet from Miss Universe Iraq 2017, Sarah Abdali Idan, who said, "Even CNN sometimes sells false news. I know this from covering Iraq events in 2019. People need to understand every media is prone to either mistakes or deliberate corruption. Do your own investigation before believing what they're selling you." Dorsey responded, "I know this from being on the streets of Ferguson during the protests and watching them try to create conflict and film it and causing the protesters to chant, 'Fuck CNN.'" Oh, wow. And he said, Iden's tweet stemmed from an earlier remark that Dorsey made on the platform when he called out CNN's Brian Stelter and a columnist for the Washington Post on Monday over a tweet that took aim at Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Dorsey referenced a tweet from Stelter that said, "Tucker Carlson is always selling the same thing. At P. Bump says, he's selling doubt." Dorsey responded to the tweet by asking in a tweet, "And you are selling hope?" Elizabeth Spires, a leftist that appears on MSNBC, responded to Dorsey writing, "They're selling truth, which is hope agnostic. It's supposed to inform you, not make you feel some kind of way." Edon's tweet was a response to Spires' tweet. Dorsey made news over the weekend when he slammed the Twitter's board of directors as entrepreneur Elon Musk, the richest man, tries to take over the company. Dorsey was responding to the following tweet when he made his remark. If I look into the history of Twitter board, it's intriguing as I was a witness on its early beginnings, mired in plots and coups, and particularly amongst Twitter's founding members. I wish if it could be made into a Hollywood thriller one day. Dorsey responded, "It's consistently been the dysfunction of the company." Dorsey also said big facts in response to the following statement from venture capitalist Fred Destin. "What I do know for sure is that this Silicon Valley proverb is grounded in age-old wisdom that still applies today. Good boards don't create good companies, but a bad board would kill a company every time." When later asked if he was allowed to speak like this publicly given the fact that he's still on the company's board, Dorsey responded, "No." Wow. Well, we got a film with Mel Gibson that's religious.
Yeah? Is it the Father's Day one? Or
yes.
It... Yeah, I like look good.
Critics pan new faith-based film Father's Stew, but the audience loves it. Critics and the general public are at odds over the new faith-based film Father Stew released in theaters last week.
True story, or based
at least
on a true story.
75 film critics have collectively rated the Catholic film with a dismal 44% rating, according to popular review website Rotten Tomatoes. The audience, on the other hand, praised the movie as a resounding success, with more than 500 reviews averaging at a high 95% rating. The film takes viewers through the life of troubled amateur boxer turns Catholic priest Father Stuart Long, who suffered from a rare degenerative and incurable muscular disorder called inclusion body myositis. Critics clearly were not convinced of the film adaptation. This ill-conceived, frequently irritating biopic trots out every stale genre chestnut while focusing on a relentlessly unlikable main character who comes across as a stubborn, argumentative bully, complained Common Sense Media's Jeffrey M. Anderson. Movie realist Monty Lee Stormer mocked, "The message seems to be in the end, Stu became a priest and everybody clapped. Its clumsy, inert storytelling seems less interested in converting non-believers than in convincing us of Wahlberg's piety," Washington Post critic Michael O'Sullivan said. James Vernier of the Boston Herald said, "Actors Mark Wahlberg and Mel Gibson had their performances blocked by the mediocre screenplay by the first-time director Rosalind Ross, who was Gibson's girlfriend, adding that the film is a total bore. The general public, though, appreciated the film was a pleasant change from all the other movies available with both excellent acting and a profound message." "Great message and amazing performance by actors and addresses and actresses. It teaches us how to be tolerant and persistent at the same time," one audience review said. "Humanized priest and faith life relatable, highly recommended," a reviewer named Allison wrote. "We'll watch again. Absolutely love this movie," a user named Brian D. commented. "Keep bringing us the kind of movies that uplift us and inspire us to be better souls on this earth. Thank you." Thoroughly enjoyable movie. Mark Wahlberg was excellent as usual. Entire cast was great, another review said. I would recommend it to anyone who would enjoy a real-life story of someone succeeding after much adversity. It has a 44% on the tomato meter reading, according to critics, but the audience gave it a 95. Despite critics' reaction, Father Stu meant a lot to Catholic actors Wahlberg and Gibson. The former privately financed the project, and the film was written and directed by Gibson's girlfriend, Rosalind Ross. Moreover, the film seems to be a signal of what's to come from Wahlberg. I feel like this is starting a new chapter for me in that now doing things like this real substance can help people, the 50-year-old actor told Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
I definitely want to focus on making more. I wouldn't say necessarily just faith-based content, but things that will help people. So hopefully this movie will open a door for not only myself, but for lots of other people in Hollywood to make more meaningful content. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Wahlberg added that it would be sooner rather than later, probably, that he'll be leaving Hollywood. Gibson told Fox News that he has long understood that there's a real thirst for faith-based content, referring to Smash Hit The Passion of the Christ, which was co-written and directed by the actor. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a pretty big experience with The Passion, he said. That was an interesting journey to understand that there's a real thirst for this kind of content out there. People want it and they respond well to it, so it's a privilege to be part of that delivery. I think Father Stu offers that, Gibson continued. It's a little different. I wouldn't really call it a faith-based film, but I think it hits all those cravings that the community wants. But at the same time, it's not preaching to the choir. It's got F-bombs, so you do have to weather these things to get to the jewel.
Well, they're trying to pull another Chappelle. Mm-hmm. It's whatever, like, that, what is it, narrative, the people with that narrative, they don't want you to see something that they don't believe in. All this wholesome content really goes to show how many people don't have any kind of faith or belief system these days.
Well,
but then again, this 95% fan rating, so
yeah,
there is a lot of people that still have some kind of faith base, because you aren't seeing atheists watching these movies.
No. He's actually not that hard to beat. You can play as him, by the way. The dude with the sword, that's Zangetsu. And guess who voices him? The same guy that voices Snake in Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Oh, that's a great game. I love Bloodstained. I've played this game so many fucking times, it's ridiculous. I really loved it. People say, oh, it's not that great. I said, no, it is that great. I love this game. I can't wait till they do another one. But, yeah, now we're going to do our last article of the show. And this is an old one. We're going way back. But, yes, let's do this. This is crazy, guys. I remember reporting this. And it was so crazy. It's so crazy. If you guys ever find those old videos on BitChute, which you should, because I have a large BitChute audience, and I'm thankful for all you guys, especially really rocking it with my comics. Dude, I looked at fucking Swing, and it's got 100 views. I'm like, yay, that's awesome. You guys really like it. So I'm going to give you more Swing, even if, like, MGTOW.TV doesn't want it. You guys are like, we want the comics, we want the hentai. I'm looking at the hentai and the adult content on MGTOW.TV. There's like 30 or so, but I look at BitChute, it's at 95 on one, 255 on another. Like, you guys really like that stuff. So I'm going to be making it for all the sites as normal, but, you know, I'm getting just a lot more views on BitChute, and it's fine because there's a lot more guys on MGTOW.TV now. There's so many more guys on MGTOW.TV. There's like Darius M's on there, so I'm starting to sub to him on there now. I'm just pretty much subbing to everybody I sub to on YouTube because everybody's kind of moving over. That's cool. Like, I know we're probably going to get a little buried, but there's a lot of good Red Pill guys in there that will teach you shit. Like, if you need to learn some Red Pill stuff and learn about women's behavior, watch Darius M. Because he does it by showing. He just shows their videos. He shows how they act. He shows what they say. How better to understand a woman than from her own words and her own mouth and her own actions?
Uh-huh.
That's what he does. When you see what these women are talking about on TikTok, he doesn't cut anything out or edit the videos. He just shows them and then he commentates on them and said, yeah, this is what they're doing. So if you want to know that information, it's there. And Ribby does that too. The Party Frog, he does that. So there's Red Pill content all over the place if you want Red Pill content. But there's also guys that are going to teach you how to score and all that. I mean, it's whatever you want to do. I'm not into all that, obviously. But hey, if that's what you want to do, we've got it here for you. I'm not all for that. Fresh and Fit, 671,000 followers on YouTube. Subs, rather, on YouTube. And that's almost a million. That's getting pretty high. I'm really surprised to see that 671,000 fucking people are subscribing to that guy. Fresh and I think it's for the girls. I think it's, yeah, and he'll even stream the girls on there now. So, one of the guys, the Fed. Remember, one of the guys, a federal agent, former Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was trying to think of what you're talking about for a second.
Yeah, Fresh and Fit. Yeah, they're on MGTOW.TV now. And it's crazy. And they're like, oh, did they get, one of the guys like, hey, did they get kicked off? No. They're almost at 1,000 fucking, a million fucking subs. They're about to get a golden or a silver play button, which is what TFM wanted, because he had a million. So it's kind of it's bad to see that TFM has now like been completely yeeted, but grifters like Fresh and Fit are getting a million, and they're totally grifting and just it's time these girls. I mean, I guess the guys just like to hear these pretty girls talk about the truth of dating, how fucked up it really is, and some guys that still want to do game, and I don't know. It's all fucked. These guys have nothing to live for. It's a bad situation. I just want to get pussy, because you got nothing else, right? I don't know.
I'll tell you, really, pussy's only secondary in a...
Well, they don't know. They're not... No, you just... No.
They don't want that.
They don't want that.
But,
they just want... Because it gives them meaning.
Yeah.
It gives them meaning and purpose. Oh, look at me. I got that. Yeah. Dude, even Fresh... Even,
they're more...
Even Fresh and Fit aren't into that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Look at how many women I bring. Look at the cars I drive. Yeah. Look at the house. Yeah, it's all about
that's
that.
That's nasty.
It's like narcissism.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as the Instagram models. Look how hot I am. Look at my boobs. No, it's fucking ridiculous. Look at my boobs. Look at my boobs. No, that's what Darius Sem was showing. But we can't focus on all that negativity. Let's push all that aside and just try to have, like even Drexel said, he's going to start having fun on his channel. Let's bring back the fun. Let's not focus on all these thoughts and all this crazy shit and these grifters.
Yeah.
Let's just have fun. That's why I'm doing comics. I'm going to do a little bit of banner, just a little bit. And all we're going to talk about mainly is that, guys, I'm doing comics, okay? More comics are coming. Whether you want them or not, comics are coming. And I'm even going to do the comics on YouTube. I got an artist. We're working all this out. It's going to be cool. We're having a Grimm's Comic Corner. You guys, BitChute and MGTOW.TV, you guys get access to the Adult Comic Corner because I probably can't put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But... that means you guys will get Sling, you'll get Sunstone, you'll get a lot more, you'll get Bitch Planet, some of the cringe stuff I can't. Like, Bitch Planet has nudity, not the kind of nudity you want to see, but it's nudity that YouTube wouldn't allow. And I'll be showing that. So you guys are going to see Bitch Planet this week as a cringe comic, and it's totally cringe. This is a feminist comic aimed at feminists in college. And aimed at girls in college to make them feminists. That it's literally propaganda. So we're going to, we're showing it to you. We're letting you see the enemies, the evil, whatever. Maybe they're not so evil. Maybe they're just brainwashing material. I don't know. They did destroy the birth rate and all that. So that's kind of evil, isn't it? But yeah, we got that. And we're going to do Classic Comic Corner. Classic Comic Corner is going to be just the classics, man. We're not going to try to do like Batman and stuff unless it's really out there Batman or really out there X-Men. If there's stuff like that that we really want to cover, we'll do that. But we are going to cover maybe Savage Dragon, maybe The Mask. Maybe like you didn't even know there was a Mask comic book, did you? And you didn't know it was gory as fuck, did you?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, so let's do that. That sounds fun, right? And these things are fun for me because I've never read them and I get to, put myself in that world for an hour or so after I get back from a hard day at work. So it's fun. It's fun. And we're going to continue to do that. We're also going to have the indie comic corner. Indie comics are just creators you've never heard of. And I'm going to talk to RG about doing Blade Devil. I want to get his permission. I don't just want to put Blade Devil on here without his permission. But I want to read the first volume of Blade Devil, if he doesn't mind. I don't think he'd have a problem, but I'd like to get a hold of him and ask. I said, look, man, I want to read this book. I've got a copy of it. I bought a signed copy of it because I respect RGE. He inspired me to do this. And we're going to do that. We're going to do some other stuff. We're going to do a bunch of random indies. Some indies you never heard of. But good stuff. I think you'll like it. We even got some spooky stuff. Some really fucky, scary, creepy pasta kind of shit we can do for Halloween. We got Halloween comics. And we can do the Ash vs. Evil Dead and the Friday the 13th. And the Ash vs. We got Jason vs. Freddy vs. Ash, which is actually taken from a movie script. I can do that whole comic book for you. That would be cool. So we got Halloween stuff planned. We got all kinds of stuff planned. And finally, we got the Unexpected Comic Corner. Now, those you might get to see Batman, Superman, but you'll get to see them in weird ways. And weird team-ups. Stuff you never fucking expected. Dude, I cannot wait to show you some of this shit. I just told DP about it.
Oh, yeah.
And he is like, what?
Yeah, I'll be binge reading.
Yeah, he's binge reading. This shit is amazing. I can't wait to show you. You're like, what? Is that real? Is this fucking April Fool's? No, this is real shit. And we're going to show it to you because, yeah, there was some DC shit basically that was woke, but then there's some shit that's like, oh my God, why didn't we ever hear about this? And you're going to get to see that. So stay tuned. Also, on the list, we can do Mad Magazine. We can do Heavy Metal. I actually have Heavy Metal from back in the 1970s. We can go over those. If you guys really want to get back into the French metal harlot days, we've got those. We've got so much shit that I can do because I have so many gigs of comics.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got so much stuff that can be done on this corner. And if you want to submit. I'll do your comic. You know, I'm going to read through it, make sure it's cool and all that. And if you're a Comics Gate guy, you're like, oh, you know, fuck these labels. If you're not a Comics Gate guy and you're still like, fuck these labels, I'd just rather be indie, you know. I want to do Geek Girl. I want to do a lot of shit. So just stay tuned because we are going to be doing a lot of comics. Comics, and we're still doing hentai. We're still doing adult games. I'm just going to do both because I like both of these things. And it gets my comic backlog out of the way. And it's fun to read along, you know. I've always enjoyed this. This is something I've wanted to do for my entire life, was to read comics and just read to people because I enjoy it. It's fun. And you guys like it, so why? Let's just continue, right?
Yeah.
Why stop? It's fun. You know, life is short. Have fun. So, without further ado, let's get on to that final article.
Yes.
Okay, robber who broke into hair salon is beaten by its black belt owner and kept as a sex slave for 3 days, fed only Viagra. This is real. A Russian man who tried to rob a hair salon ended up as the victim when the female shop owner overpowered him, tied him up naked, and then used him as a sex slave for 3 days. Victor Jasinki, and she's actually not that bad looking. Victor Jasinki, 32.
Who was the victim, huh?
Not the victim. The woman that's the woman. They don't show her face, but she's not that unattractive.
I don't see a victim here.
No. Victor Jasinki, 32, admitted to police that he had gone to the salon in Mechovok, Russia, with the intention of robbing it. But the tables were turned dramatically when he found himself overcome by owner Olga Zajac, 28, she's now much older, who happened to be a black belt in karate. She allegedly floored the would-be robber with a single kick, like fucking out of anime.
Oh, yeah.
Then, in a scene reminiscent of Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction, police say Zajac dragged the semi-conscious Jasinki to a back room of the salon and tied him up with a hairdryer cable. She allegedly stripped him naked and for the next 3 days used him as a sex slave to teach him a lesson, force-feeding him Viagra to keep the lesson going. The would-be robber was eventually released, with Zajac saying he had learned his lesson. Jasinski went straight to the police and told them of his backroom ordeal, saying that he had been held hostage, handcuffed, naked to a radiator, and fed nothing but Viagra. Both have now been arrested. When police arrived to question Zajic, she said, "What a bastard. Yes, we had sex a couple of times, but I bought him new jeans, gave him food, and even gave him 1,000 rubles when he left." In the 1994 Tarantino film Pulp Fiction, Butch Coolidge and Marcellus Wallace end up fighting in a shop after a prolonged street chase. Butch, played by Bruce Willis, gains the upper hand over Marcellus being Rames, but is immediately held at gunpoint by the shop's owner. Butch and Marcellus are led to the back room of the shop where they are bound and gagged and prepared for the imminent arrival of Zed. They are told they would be kept in captivity and sexually abused. Butch manages to break free from his bonds and violently reverse the fortunes of his tormentors, leaving Marcellus to exact medieval retribution. Isn't that some fucking shit?
Not before getting drilled in the butt. Hey,
she bought him pants and everything else, you. Man. That's,
if I were him, I'd show up
she's actually not even, she's not even unattractive.
Yeah, I'd show up every Thursday for a lesson or two.
She's not even unattractive. I mean, I'm sorry, that would be okay.
I'll learn my lesson.
Yeah.
No, I think you're going to have to teach me a few more.
Right. And Mal just has to say, I dropped MGTOW.TV. Well, the only other place you'll be able to catch me is BitChute then, because that's... And YouTube! YouTube, when I go back, I'm just waiting, because I'm not going on back on the YouTube until I have this art piece done. Because I have to have a banner done for the Comic Corner, and then I'll open up. The Comic Corner page exists, by the way. It does exist. There's nothing at all on it. It's a placeholder. It's just there and ready for when I'm ready to go back onto YouTube. So it's already there. But it's going to be a really nice, funny little image. And it'll be up there and you'll see it. And you'll like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
What about, what is it? The message board.
Oh, we did. That's all. That's
that
all.
Was it.
That's all that we, that's all I had to say. At any rate, guys, this is the Grimlord and Dead Penetration, and I think we're going to be out of here.
Later.
Thank you guys for joining us, and have fun and enjoy what's on the menu.